Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money. This is our very first date of 2019, which is why I've decided to take you out. First of all, here's wishing a very happy new year to all of our viewers out there. Now, where am I taking you out? To one of the top mutual fund houses of this country. We are here at the headquarters of Reliance Mutual Fund to find out just how the men who manage money here really think. If you are already an investor with them, or if you're thinking of putting some money in some of the Reliance funds, then the questions that will be on your mind: debt, equity, should you look at fixed income, mid cap, small caps, market volatility, interest rates. All of that is going to be covered in our conversation. Let's go and find out how the bosses who run this place really think when it comes to 2019. Hi, Sandeep.
Hi.
Thank you for having us over to your office. Thank you very much. Season's greetings. Wish you a very, very happy new year. Happy 2019.
Wishing all your viewers also very, very happy new year.
Thank you very much. Now, first of all, do you make new year resolutions? Do you have something in mind for you?
Yeah, of course. I think, how do we ensure, we increase the financial inclusion. I think we have to ensure every mutual fund, every Indian investor is investing in mutual funds. We need to get more people coming to the mutual fund industry. That's the resolution for us.
So those are the politically correct answers. We'll get to, you know, his real resolutions a little later on the show. But, you know, it's good to be here. 2018 was a little more challenging. It wasn't a straight, simple ride.
It was very challenging.
I'm sure for you and, you know, your colleagues who actually manage money here. And also for investors, it tested patience. We had to realize that we'll also see losses in our funds. I mean, a lot of the funds are actually negative. Some of the best performing funds are also sort of down, you know, 5, 10, 15%. Now, first of all, if you look back at 2018, have there been any lessons for investors that are parking money in your funds? And then how do you take it forward in 2019?
Well, it's a very interesting. 2018 was one of the most challenging years. Mm-hmm. If you were to look at it, whether to debt, equity, on for all parameters, all asset classes, it was very difficult. Especially when we see, I think investors walked into 2018 very positive, getting huge returns, you know, over the last few years.
Yes.
But effectively, the negative returns in large cap funds, almost negative, huge negative returns in small cap.
Yes.
But I think the key learnings have been, you know, if you were to look at it from a long-term point of view, this volatility is always going to be there. I mean, in spite of the fact today, let's take large cap are almost, you know, zero return. Mid cap is about minus 10 to 15% return.
The best performing funds are, which are down only 10%.
But I think the key learning in this is, if you were to look, extend this beyond 1 year, I mean, you look at over the 5 year, 10 year period, again, the same funds are giving an average CAGR return of 15%.
Yeah.
Small cap are giving a return of about 18 to 20%. And that's the way I think the investors have to understand, and that equities are going to have volatility.
You know, it really hit me when I started doing some basic research to talk to you guys. Simple throwback tells you that it's actually been a great year for ETFs. If you hadn't put money in active managed funds, if you simply went with one of the ETFs, a Sensex ETF, or some of these smart beta products, right? The NV20 index, even you guys have that product as well. So some of these products have actually done better. So is this also a year of learning? Because we never typically would speak of ETFs when it came to retail money earlier. So is that also changing?
I'm very happy, you know, for us. I think we've always seen ETF as a very big opportunity.
Because of the CPSE ETF as well.
The way we see from a long-term point of view, I think investors will always have to be given the choice. I think there will be investors who will like to go for active funds. There will be investors who will like to go for ETF. But this was the first year where the ETFs have taken the center stage.
Absolutely.
And you're right. I think I've always been saying this over the last many years, that I think clearly from a large cap funds point of view, I think because the large cap funds have an expense of a 200 basis point, you will see from a long-term point of view, it will become more and more difficult for large cap funds, active large cap funds, to create the kind of alpha they've been creating. And that's where ETFs are going to challenge them.
Fair enough. You know, why 2019 is also very interesting, because besides the market volatility, this is going to be a year when your industry is going through a massive change. The way in which mutual funds are sold, the distribution model, the intermediary advisory model, all of that, you know, a lot of changes are happening. Trail commissions, which is what the regulator has now mandated. Nothing upfront, all trail. So just purely from a sales point of view and from a customer experience point of view, what will 2019 throw up?
No, I think I'll just take it this way. I think as we talk today, I mean, 2018, we saw a lot of changes. But whenever we see changes, we try to, you know, think, and these are big changes. It's going to change the world. In 2009, we saw the loads going away. A lot of changes keep happening. Maybe when we do this show in 2029, you won't even remember these changes. And anything that is good for the investor in the long run is good for the industry. Okay. I think I clearly believe whatever changes are happening place, I think the industry will have to transition. Industry will have to move, you know, aligned to these changes. Sure. And I think it's very important that the entire industry, all asset managers, all distributors, all advisors have to start seeing and pushing what is good for the investor. And as long as that is done, I clearly see today in India, 2% of the population is investing in mutual funds and ETF. I think clearly it's a long way to go.
Sure, there's enough potential. There's no denying that. But let me ask you this again, more hard questions, right? Because 2018, the mutual fund industry also came into the limelight for a lot of other reasons. You know, we had the whole NBFC issue spiral out. And then even retail investors were asking that, you know, bhai, hamara paisa ultimately, where is it getting invested, right? What is the underlying, is there a problem? Is there a problem with my debt funds? You know, what's going on? Is my money being used to lend to certain entities? All legal, perfectly legal. But these questions started coming up, and not just in pink papers, in mainstream, you know, regular newspapers as well. So how do you look at some of these challenges?
No, I think it's a that's a price you pay, I think, when you're coming to the center stage. Everything is under the scanner all the time. But I think the way you have to see this is, I think for the retail investor, there are two key messages in it. I think it's not, whenever you invest, there's going to be some return. There's going to be volatility and there's going to be risk associated with it. Typically what happens, especially before 2018, in between 2014 and 2017, investors that started thinking mutual funds can only give positive returns, great returns, and there is no risk attached to it. I mean, I think, again, especially this was even more of feeling in debt because I think the yields were moving in one way. This is a very interesting year. Last year, 2018, the 10-year started at 7.30, went all the way 8+, came down again to 7.30, and this, all these credit fears which were there, you know, which...
No, absolutely.
So I think the way I see is that the advice for the retail investors, it's very important not to get carried away with returns, also to see the risk appetite they have, number one, and also the research capability. There's a very old saying, you know, the more due diligence to do, the more luckier you get. So I think it's important to understand, for investors need to understand, fixed income will also have risk.
Absolutely. Fixed income is not a fixed deposit. We have been saying that on Money throughout the year. It's not a fixed deposit. There's a difference. Please be careful. That's one of the most important learnings from 2018. You need to do your homework. These are securities that trade in the market. You need to sit with your financial advisor and ask all the right questions before you put your money, even in fixed income. It's not fixed returns. So we were talking to Sandeep Sikka. Now it's also time to bring in Manish Gunwani, the man who manages all the equity AUM out here. I'm sure a lot of, Manish, first of all, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us on the show. I'm pretty sure lots of our investors are already, you know, investors with you in your funds. Now, 2018, I'm sure you must have had pretty tight evenings, sleepless nights, volatility. 2019, what's the first thought that comes to your mind?
So the way I look at 2018, last year, was a bit of a catch-up of the spectacular 2017 we had. Now I think we are positioned well, both in terms of valuation and macros. So I think if you take a 2-3 year perspective, you will hopefully get very healthy returns going forward. So the point I'm making is, on a slightly sustained basis, we've not done too much. And I think now with currency being very competitive, with oil falling to 55 types, which means your current account deficit and inflation being very benign, I think we are set for a good run. I think actually emerging markets in general will do well.
Okay, you know, before we got you in, Sandeep and I were just talking about this, how your job is becoming more difficult on the large cap side, because this year it's actually the ETFs that have really done well. So, you know, what does that mean for you and for managing large cap money, first of all?
Again, you guys are talking about 1 year, but if you go back to 5 years, the alpha is really good. So I do think that active fund managers, let me be objective, right? I think the last decade, you had a scenario where active funds were beating Nifty by 10-15%. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
I think we have to be realistic about the alpha we can generate. And it's unlikely. I mean, I can never say never again, but it's unlikely that that kind of alpha will happen.
So what's a realistic expectation to have? If someone's putting in money now for the next 5-6 years at least, what's the additional he'll get in a large cap fund vis-a-vis a simple plain vanilla index ETF?
So it's a bit subjective, but my sense is 2 to 5% is good alpha.
2 to 5%. Keep that in mind. Sobering numbers. Everybody keep that in mind. But anyway, the other question in people's mind is, people are sitting with mid-cap and small-cap funds which are down 20-30%. But it's also very lucrative, right? You know, we keep getting asked this question, is this the time for mid-caps? What does your sense tell you?
So I think clearly at the end of last calendar year, we had a situation where the valuation gap was a lot between large caps and mid-cap. In 2018, that's got corrected both in terms of time a bit and price a lot. Mm-hmm. So today we think that multi-cap and mid-cap funds make more sense versus large-cap funds incrementally. Okay. Okay. So I think the asset allocation should directionally move more towards multi-cap fund mm-hmm. and mid-cap funds mm-hmm. versus only large-cap
fund. Only large-cap, but because that's where perhaps the alpha generation will
be. I think that's, I think it's very important, especially when you saw the last year, 2018. I mean, because the mid-caps were negative, a lot of the large-caps came back to the flavor.
Yes.
They were 3 years before that, it was all about small-caps. I think it's very important to have the right portfolio.
Okay.
I think so it's important, you know, large-cap is going to not be so volatile, but the kind of alpha that you can create is going to be the 200 basis point or 500 basis point. The small cap can generate much more alpha,
absolutely.
But the volatility is going to be much
more.
So I think it's important for investors to understand both these, you know, while they're equity, you know, but I think they're very different animals.
Sure.
And as long as the investor is willing to take that extra, is willing to live with the volatility, I think the kind of alpha that can be generated in small cap is going to be huge.
Oh, absolutely. Let me ask you this. I always ask, you know, the fund managers and the top bosses this question. What does your own mix look like right now? So if you were parking or doing your fresh allocation for your money between large cap, mid cap, multi cap, small cap, how would your pie break up?
So let me first make it, you know, all my investments are only in Reliance Mutual Fund.
Okay.
So that is number one.
Okay, skin in the game, as
skin in the game,
yes.
Complete, you know. So my 100% investments are in Reliance Mutual Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think for me, I think because I invest for long term, I'm typically more into the mid cap and the small cap.
Okay.
And banking fund is one of my favorites, you know.
Banking fund. Okay, that's an interesting talk point. Banking. Everything has happened in the last like 3-4 months, October onwards, the NBFC crisis, credit markets, interest rates being so sort of, you know, so volatile. What do you see ahead for the financial services sector and the kind of stocks that you're comfortable with now?
So why we like banking in general from a slightly long-term perspective is generally credit grows faster than nominal GDP. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of sectors which typically compound wealth. The second point is in any part of economic stability or recovery process, banking is a very central part of that theme.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at India now versus 1 year back, I think there's been a host of improvements on the macro side. So whether you take inflation, current account deficit, growth outlook.
Mm-hmm.
So if our economy has to do well, I think banking will be an integral part of that.
But tell me this. The banking fund, which I mean, I think is just about just positive for the year gone by, which is not bad considering how a lot of the sectoral funds have been negative, down 10-15%. What will the mix increasingly look like? Because there are a lot of moving parts. The question is whether you'll follow private sector banks, whether corporate banks, now that we're coming out of the NBMS, whether they'll start doing better, do you like them more? And of course, this whole, you know, wide world of NBFCs. So in this kind of a fund and overall in your funds, when you're picking financials, what are you comfortable with?
So one of the attractions of the banking fund is what you mentioned, that instead of it just being a beta play on Indian economy, now with asset managers, general insurance, life insurance, it's a much more richer landscape to play in. At this point, we think the corporate banks, the large corporate banks with high CASA, good retail liabilities and lending franchise, and some NBFCs which are in niches, because I think it's unfair to paint all NBFCs with the same brush. I think there are spaces where banks will not be able to reach, whether it's geographical, whether it's segment wise.
Sure.
And I think those are spaces where we are overweight in banking.
Okay. So let's do the rest of the sectoral mix as well. Let's layer it out. What do you like from the most, the least, the stuff that you'll stay away from as you're investing money in the markets this year?
So I think this time, more than sectoral, I think style is what is more interesting, because if you look at 2011 to 17, typically growth style outperformed. But I think where there is more attraction today is in the value kind of stocks.
Okay.
So if you look at a lot of asset-based stocks, utilities, cement, hotels, hospitals, real estate, I think there are a lot of these segments which are quite cheap. And I think why it makes sense is also because, let's face it, from a global perspective, there's a huge question mark on growth. So you're seeing US, China, Japan, Europe, everyone's slowing down. So you want to be very careful of these very high PE stocks which can disappoint on growth. So I can segment it two ways. One is value versus growth.
Okay.
The other, I would prefer domestic facing businesses versus
businesses
having
facing.
International presence.
Okay, that makes sense. You mentioned real estate, so I want to get your take on this, Sandeep. 2019, you think more money is going to be made in the stock market in financial assets like mutual funds or in physical real estate?
No, I think I'm very clear. If you look at gold and real estate, mm-hmm. I think the story's over. I think
even gold, a lot of people are saying so much risk aversion, gold might risk, do really well.
Yeah, again, that's for capital protection, mm-hmm. but you can't create wealth through gold. I think the way we clearly see is, I think on one side, you'll see more and more money coming into financial saving.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see more money coming into capital markets.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see money moving away from gold, real estate and bank deposits into mutual fund industry.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see more money coming into equity markets through SIPs. Mm-hmm. So that's the trend I see for 2019.
Okay. Going back to the point, Manish, you made on growth versus value. Where does consumption fit in all of this? Because consumption is never coming at a cheap value, I think, in our market.
Right,
despite all kinds of corrections, multiples are where they are. You also have a consumption fund. It's a small size now, but I'm guessing you're looking at growing that. What's the thought?
So see, consumption is 60% of GDP. So obviously, there'll be a lot of stories out there which are doing well, business is doing very well. And we will have a lot of exposure to consumption. But what I'm saying is, at the margin, today, if we are to invest money,
mm-hmm.
A, value stock seem to make more sense. B,
okay.
I think consumption, again, a lot of nascent industries or segments are there,
mm-hmm.
which can grow for 10, 20 years.
Okay.
So it's okay to pay high P or high EV mm-hmm. to EBITDA for those kind of mm-hmm. businesses. But I also think that there are a lot of high P or high EV to EBITDA companies which can face disruption, which can face competitive intensity, margins are 25-30%.
So you don't want to pay top dollar
and
keep buying the same stocks again and again.
Yeah.
I get that sense. Coming back to cyclicals, because you're looking for value, are you in the camp that believes that there is a cyclical uptick that's underway and we are seeing the first real economy green shoots? Do you believe that?
I think the domestic macro is perfectly placed. As mm-hmm. I said, the real question marks today are on global growth. Mm-hmm. And let's face it,
mm-hmm.
if you have a massive deceleration in global growth, even domestic growth will get affected,
mm-hmm.
which is why also I think the value strategy makes sense.
Okay.
But at the same time, I think it's such a short cycle economies globally today that at any time, if Fed turns, if some other central bank turns,
the cyclical recovery that we are seeing here,
then I think the real absolute return will come through.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's lots of food for thought, stuff that people can keep in mind as they're looking at asset allocation, the kind of funds that you want to be in. Manish, thank you very much. We are going to come back to both of you gentlemen.
Sure.
It is now time to talk fixed income, which is why I have with me Amit Tripathi, the CIO Fixed Income at Reliance Mutual Fund. Very happy new year, first of all, to you.
Thanks,
Amit, season's greetings.
Best wishes for 2019.
And thank you very much. And the question really is that your market has hogged all the headlines of 2018. From the island FS crisis to what was happening with NBFCs to, you know, whether there's any risk involved in debt mutual funds. What would you say are the learnings for retail investors? And what's the first message you'd like to give to people who want to park money in your funds?
So I think the first message is for the debt markets as a whole,
mm-hmm.
which is that we have definitely turned the corner in September.
Mm-hmm.
And we are definitely looking at a much better 2019 than 2018.
Okay.
Having said that, especially when it comes to retail investors, most of whom were looking at investment horizons of 1 year to 3 years and sometimes
mm-hmm.
beyond that,
mm-hmm.
stick to a particular philosophy as far as your investments are concerned.
Sure.
Stick to people and schemes that you are comfortable with.
Sure.
Because ultimately returns can move up and down, but mm-hmm. you need to be very, very comfortable with your investments.
Absolutely.
And once you stick to a particular kind of a framework in terms mm-hmm. of your decision mm-hmm. making, choose those fund houses which are true to label in terms of positioning.
Okay, fair enough. So those are some of the starting points. Please do keep this in mind. You will have to ask questions when you are investing in fixed income funds. You'll have to know the difference between accrual and duration. Basically, are you going to go for a fund which is a play on interest rates and how that cycle is going to sort of evolve? Or will you simply look at a fund which offers you high yields, maybe more than the average fixed deposits? So, you know, before I get into the strategy or what one should do, I must ask you this question because of the headlines of 2018, right? In between, there was also some concern about the kind of entities in which you know money is being ultimately parked in, whether it's NBFCs, whether these NBFCs in turn lend to real estate, whether you know certain top promoters of the country, whether some of their funding is happening through the mutual fund route, it's all legitimate, it's all legal, we are saying that, but nonetheless there are, these are questions that came up. Yeah. So as a fixed income manager, how do you answer these?
So at the end of the day, NBFCs are intermediaries like banks, right? As banks do onward lending when they collect money from depositors, NBFCs also do onward lending when they collect money from the wholesale markets. So while the source of funding might be different, retail or wholesale, ultimately it's onward lending for both of the entities. To the extent NBFCs have done lending based on fair practices and in terms of a proper risk management framework, whether it is a retail NBFC, whether it is a wholesale NBFC, whether it is a housing finance company, ultimately for me as a credit guy, when I am looking at any NBFC, I do a very bottom-up kind of a analysis and see that irrespective of which asset class that NBFC typically is lending to, are they doing a good job out of that or not?
Sure. So since you mentioned housing finance companies, and that became a bit of a bad word towards the end of 2018, have you changed your stance? Are you not investing in securities that are issued by some of these entities, or do you, are you still taking a holistic view? I mean, are there any specific sectors that, let's say, you're staying away from, a certain type of entities that you're staying away from after the Island FS episode?
So first of all, if I were to just step back and look at credit as an overall piece, I think credit as an overall piece is always about bottoms-up approach. It is never about taking a sectoral approach or taking a sub-sectoral approach saying housing finance is bad, construction is bad, etc. It is always about a entity and how that is carrying on its business. Okay. Coming specifically to housing finance, the issue was not with regards to the retail piece of their business. Any which ways, mortgage is still regarded as the most valuable underlying security against which you can lend, right? So it is not the retail piece, it's the wholesale piece or wholesale part of their balance sheet which was being more focused in terms of what the market was focusing on. And I guess as long as one gets the overall comfort that both in terms of allocation, retail is still a predominant part of housing finance companies' balance sheets, and second, the wholesale either is predominantly cash flow backed, as in commercial properties in a LRD format, or the general underwriting standards of that wholesale is very good, which again is a very bottom-up approach when it comes to entity to entity, I think we would be very happy to look at these entities and keep on lending.
Okay.
So as long as we have the overall comfort in terms of risk management practices, the way the business is carried out, I think mortgage still remains one of the best asset classes to lend against in India.
Okay, having taken that point on board, let's come down to the advice for 2019 and beyond. And again, we're talking strictly retail investors who have just started moving away from, you know, fixed deposits, and they're still understanding the nuances of fixed income funds. Now, if someone wants to park money for, let's say, 3 years, because that's where the tax advantage kicks in, that's where your benefit of indexation comes in, then what would you say? Duration funds, they play on bonds, but interest rates have gone all over the place from 8% plus to now we are, you know, sub 7.5%. And then there's credit risk. So how would you sort of advise on this?
So see, our overall view on rates is reasonably positive for 2019.
Okay.
We are in some kind of a sweet spot as far as the broader macro is concerned, and everything has been moving in the right direction, so to say, as far as, you know, interest rates are concerned. Having said that, if one is looking at a 3 year plus kind of time horizon, and we are talking about retail investors who may not have too much of appetite for, you know, day to day kind of a volatility.
Absolutely, yeah.
The simplest products to look at are the neutral duration products in fixed income. When I say neutral duration, I'm essentially talking about products that have a two and a half-ish year kind of a duration profile. Short-term bond funds, if you are looking at high-grade products, which is typically AAA oriented, or accrual or credit funds, if you are looking at high-yield funds. So while I, as a portfolio manager or as a risk guy, will always tell you that I am very comfortable with my, you know, credit risk fund.
I think is that where you would park your money as well?
I already have parked my money in my credit risk fund.
Anyway, we are back here with the other gentleman from Reliance Mutual Fund as well. It's been a pleasure. But before I let all of you all go, we must do like one quick rapid fire, like really quick one. So your favorite fund out of your own universe where you'd park, let's say, the maximum amount of your money next year?
Multicap.
The Reliance Multicap.
Yeah.
Sandeep, for you?
Reliance Banking Fund.
The Banking Fund. And okay, Amit's already mentioned his one, so you know I get that. But if we overall talk about resolutions, you started off with a very politically correct answer. Now let's talk about real resolutions. So 2019 for you?
Health.
Health.
Lose weight.
Okay, lose weight. Oh my God, I think I've had that every single year. Let's not even bother now. Sandeep, for you?
Of course, first is lose weight every year. Every year I take this resolution. But I think the next thing is not only make pin shape yourself, take care of your finances also. For that,
yes.
I think keep looking at money.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, that's good advice. And what's your resolution, Amit?
I guess more delegation. Let my team work harder and let me take more rest.
This is excellent. I think I'm coming off with some great ideas at the end of this conversation. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Wish you a very pleasant, happy, prosperous and healthy 2019. And we will touch base with you through the course of the year and we'll see how wealth generation comes along.
Thank you very much.
Also very, very happy new year.
All right. And with that, it's a wrap at the Reliance Mutual Fund headquarters here. This first edition of Money in 2019. We again wish you a very healthy, very prosperous and a very, very nice new year. We will keep coming to you throughout the course of the year with more ideas and more ways of making your money work for you. That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Surabhi Upadhyay. That's SurabhiUpadhyay. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.